Walter E. versus Mark E. Ms. Preisinger, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice and your honors, and may it please the court. My name is Sarah Preisinger, Deputy Sarpy County Attorney, appearing for the state who is the appellant in this matter. The crux of the issue before the court today is both a parent's responsibility to support his or her child and what constitutes an appropriate substantive hearing on that responsibility. What I'm asking this court to consider today is reversing the order of the district court and remanding the matter with instructions to adopt the referee's original recommendation for purposes of support. This case involves a minor child who is the subject of a juvenile court action who has now become a state ward. After that case began, my office instituted an action in district court, a complaint for support of that minor against that child's father. After having a hearing before the referee at which that father testified, there was also documentary evidence received establishing relevant details of income, appropriate deductions. The referee made a recommendation, including a deviation, a significant deviation, that that father be ordered to pay support for this minor child.
Doesn't a juvenile court have the authority to require a parent of a child under its jurisdiction to pay support?
I think they do have jurisdiction to do that, Your Honor. My reading of the statutory scheme is that in a circumstance like this, the juvenile court and the district court in our county via the referee can have concurrent jurisdiction and work in tandem. I think some of the details of the referee's recommendation.
So if they both have jurisdiction and they both have it at the same time, what happens when they issue conflicting orders?
I think in this circumstance, I think that is certainly possible. In this circumstance, that did not happen. The district court indicated that they found that a single sentence in some of the juvenile court orders, which makes reference to costs not covered by medical insurance, should be absorbed by the state, constituted a final finding and a finding on the merits. But the record, I believe, is clear, and this was undisputed by the father, that there was no substantive evidence presented to the juvenile court in regards to the financial issues. Only hearing where that took place was before the referee.
Why shouldn't the state, when there is both a juvenile proceeding and the possibility of an independent action in district court to establish support? We're talking about not a pre-existing action in district court. This was a new action.
It was, Your Honor.
So why shouldn't the state be required to go to the juvenile court, and then only if and only if the juvenile court loses jurisdiction, go to district court?
I think that while the juvenile court is designed to evaluate the child's best interest, reunification, treatment that's necessary, while the juvenile court could order a support order, I believe the system that is best set up and developed already to do that is the district court or the referee. They are familiar with the application of the guidelines and the appropriate deductions in a way that, in my experience, juvenile courts are not. And that is not, I believe, their primary focus. They are designed to, as I said, work towards that best interest of the child. And while that can overlap with a financial consideration, they are not always the same thing. And I believe that the district court, again, in our county via the referee, is in the best position to make that determination.
What do you think is encompassed in 43290 with respect to the breadth of orders the juvenile court can give?
I think, Your Honor, that the juvenile court does have the capability to enter a support order, but I think what is critical in this case is that while the district court found that they had, I do not believe that they did. It is, as I said, that single sentence in the juvenile court order, and the language, not only does it not specify an amount, it does not have a calculation attached, there are no specific findings as to income, it is, the language strongly implies and indicates that it is limited only to medical.
And remind me which sentence issued by the juvenile court to which you refer.
My recollection is the district court made reference to a specific sentence the juvenile court had that says, and I may not have the exact words right, but that costs not covered by medical insurance shall be covered by the state. But I think the indication of medical insurance is a strong implication and indication that that was designed to include costs, for example, of treatment that are not covered by the father's insurance in this case, not the ongoing room and board, daily living costs that all children have, that for which child support is designed to provide.
So the district court found there are more robust sentences by the juvenile court than that one that you just referred to. The district court found that those orders in juvenile court were support orders, right?
Yes, they
and that without citing to 43290, juvenile court has the authority to do support orders, right? Is this
they
just a simple version of what happened?
Yes.
And district court said, we don't have an absence of a support order, so I'm not going to do it.
That is my interpretation, Your Honor.
And what was the basis of your jurisdictional filing? What did the complaint refer to?
The complaint to establish support?
Yeah, what was the basis of jurisdiction in the complaint filed in the district court?
In that complaint, Your Honor, we alleged that the minor child was residing out of the home of that parent and had been removed by the Sarpy County Juvenile Court, and therefore, under the guidelines, it was our contention that that child, there was support appropriately ordered for that minor child.
Did you also allege that there was no support order in effect?
I do not believe that was a specific allegation in our original complaint. I will say,
however, if you invoked, is this correct, 43512.03?
That is my recollection, Your Honor.
Right, and so that says, file a complaint against a non-supporting party in the district court or separate juvenile court, praying for an order for the child or medical support in cases where there is no existing child or medical support order.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. You filed under that stat. That's the basis of jurisdiction.
Yes, that 45.
Right, and therefore encompassed within that was the your allegation. There's no existing support order.
Agreed, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I do believe that the language in the juvenile court order, it does not rise to the level of any kind of child support order. It does not speak to that specifically. And again, it was not a hearing on the merits. There's, I don't believe any dispute from the father that there was no evidence presented to the juvenile court about the financial circumstances that were relevant. My recollection is that the argument counsel made before the district court was that the juvenile court judge was aware of the totality of the circumstances. But I think without having received evidence as the referee did, it's not appropriate that order be stand as an error order on
so
the merits.
It seems like you're telling the district court, the juvenile court, isn't being thorough in its support orders, so we're going to come to you instead, rather than go to the juvenile court and ask for greater precision. For which they do have authority.
They do have authority, and again, Your Honor, the reason that we proceeded in the district court is that I believe that the district court is a more appropriate venue to have a conversation about the application of the child support guidelines, while the juvenile court remains focused on the best interests of those of the child and necessary steps to take.
So your view
were
of
you
it
farm
is
farm shopping.
Oh, pardon me.
That was
my question.
That was certainly not the intention of the state, Your Honor. I do not. As I said, my reading of the juvenile court language is that it does not rise to the level of support order, of a support order. My recollection is that this court, for example, has reversed cases in which there is no calculation attached, that none of those details are included. And I think in that, I do not think the language in the juvenile court rises to the level of the support order. It was not, we certainly were not.
But the juvenile court could do it.
They could do it.
They're statutorily under 43290. They could do it.
I think
they could do better, in your view.
I do think that they could have done it, but critically for me in this case, I don't believe that they did.
And the state's already a party to the juvenile court proceeding, right?
Yes, Your Honor. My recollection is that the state actually initiated that proceeding. But I do think that they had
not. Let me ask this in a different way. When you didn't get what you wanted from the district court, could you simply have gone back to the juvenile court and sort of refiled your action?
I think that that is a possibility. I do not think it is the best answer. I think that having already had an evidentiary hearing where all of the relevant details to a child support calculation were considered, that it's appropriate that that recommendation stand rather than expecting that the juvenile court do that. And to be frank, Your Honors, it was not an intention to subvert the intent of the juvenile court either. In reading those pleadings, my reading of that
the district court to enter some kind of support order in this wouldn't we be making a mess of what is going on in the juvenile court?
I do not believe so, Your Honor. The referee's recommendation took into account, based on the father's testimony and I believe some documentary evidence, the participation that father has in the juvenile court, gave him a deviation for that amount and a credit against the ordered amount of support. So I think that, those actions have already been taken into consideration in the context of the referee's recommendation.
Counsel, before you sit down, you're appealing from an order of dismissal by the district court that was entered on March 13th.
Yes.
And your notice of appeal was filed on April 27th.
My recollection is that in the intervening time, there was a motion to reconsider, which...
Is it your position that that was a terminating motion?
I believe that it did toll the time for appeal because it's... my recollection of my motion is that it pointed out what I believed to be a factual inaccuracy of the district court's interpretation of the juvenile court language, and I was asking that the court very much alter or amend its final order. If there are no further questions, Your Honors, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Do we have any opposition? Apparently not. We will go on to the next case of the day.